Hey, you know, if you're listening to that music, you're listening to a special edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives, taking a look at the real world from, well, a spiritual perspective. Our program's originating out of KEST in San Francisco, simulcast on www.kestradio.com. And this morning we have a tremendous guest. After he graduated from Stanford University with a BA in economics, he joined a family business, a farming venture in Washington State. After working successfully for 5 years into the management of the business with his father, he decided his heart was elsewhere, and he transitioned into a full-time career of helping and healing others through a mind-healing spiritual practice based, fulfilling a desire that he had cherished from a young age. The turning point for our guest was in his decision to change careers was a visit he made to an elderly woman who was suffering from arthritis. He sat and prayed with her, and the woman soon reported a lessening of pain and stiffness. She was so impressed with her ability to walk freely again that she told her friends, and word spread. People started to call our guest to pray for them, and his public practice of healing others through prayer was born. Everybody, this is Evan Mellenbacher. Evan, this is everybody.
Hi, Scott. This is Evan, and I'm glad to be here with you all.
Oh, perfect. Great to have you. So you're a practitioner and a teacher, and you've been practicing prayer-based healing for over 20 years. So you've been pretty much full-time professionally in, call it the realm of spiritual or metaphysical or God-based healing for over 20 years. And my note says that you've done over 500 different talks to audiences in North America and even around the world. So, Evan, the first thing, because the word is right in there, prayer-based, and that's one question I ask in every episode of Spiritual Perspectives. What do you personally mean when you use the word pray?
Oh, that's an excellent question, because there are so many different approaches to prayer, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't there? Yeah. When I pray, I listen. Prayer for me is listening for God's direction. And when I say God, I'm thinking of this all-knowing, all-wise mind that has a solution to any problem that we ever face. So when I pray, I figure I don't need to tell this divine mind what to do or how to do it. That part's already figured out, you know, in the mind of God.
Uh-huh.
It's more of a humble position that I take. It's like, okay, I have this issue I'm facing in my life, or this problem that I need to see some resolution or an answer that I'm seeking for more peace of mind, and I know the answer is there in the mind of God. So what do I need to do? You know, I don't need to tell God really anything. I need to open up, listen, and receive.
Perfect. Yeah. So what practice do you use, Evan, to get to that place where you can listen?
Well, I am a practitioner of Christian Science, which is a spirit-based method of healing, a Christ-based method of healing, and that probably needs a little explanation because there are many different understandings of what Christ is and what role that plays in your life, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's a method of healing discovered by Mary Baker Eddy, who lived back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Discovered and documented, for that matter.
Yeah. She started a major movement. She became a phenomenal healer herself. She was raised in a very Christian household. Parents were very devout, and kids read the Bible every morning, and they were expected to learn it. Mary was no exception. And over the years, though, she had a lot of health challenges that just wouldn't yield. You know, the doctors didn't know what to do, and she tried a lot of other alternative forms of healing, too, and, you know, sometimes found success, but it was always temporary. So she just kept seeking and searching over the years, and her life hit a crisis point in her mid-40s when she had this horrible accident that just about did her in and paralyzed her and put her in great pain, and the doctor didn't know whether she'd even live another day or two. But she never lost her faith that there was this higher power, this God of love out there to turn to, and in her moment of great need, she turned to God in prayer with her whole heart and thought about the healing she had read about in the Bible and figured, you know, why not for me too?
Uh-huh.
And in her moment of prayer, this significant revelation into her relationship to God just took over her thinking, and it had such a profound impact on her. It instantaneously healed her of that physical damage to her body, and she was up, you know, and walking just like that. But But other people have had healings like that, so that's not necessarily unique. But what was unique was this glimpse into spiritual reality that transformed her point of view, and then it went on to just affect millions of other people since that time, including me.
One huge aha moment.
Yeah. And in that aha moment, what she essentially saw was, I'm living my eternal spiritual life right now.
Yes. I'm living my eternal spiritual life right now.
Yep.
I am on a spiritual path no matter what my surroundings are, whether I'm in my living room, whether I'm on the street, whether I'm in a padded wall cubicle, I'm still on a spiritual path living my spiritual life right now.
And this is major, you know, to understand, because how many people are taught to believe that my good in life is way out in the future somewhere?
Right.
You know, I haven't passed a test yet.
Right,
I haven't qualified,
right.
or I'm not good enough yet, or it's been taken from me because they think of that good as a material thing, perhaps, or a position that constantly eludes them. But how many theological teachings are put on us that cause us to feel separated from the goodness of God. And Mary was no exception. She was raised with many of those. And,
mm-hmm.
Some very basic ones like, well, maybe you need to get baptized before you are qualified, or you got to die, and then there's a judgment day, and this way or that. And, you know, all these things create a feeling in our mind that, okay, there is this, you know, I believe in heaven, I believe in spirit and God's infinite love and care, but man, you know, life is tough. Here I am struggling to get through the day, and I got to figure out how to pay those bills, and I'm dealing with arthritis and a heart problem and, you know, a difficult husband, and that thing called heaven and all its blessings is way out there somewhere, and I can't even see it.
Right. Now, one of the precepts that we bring out a lot in the Spiritual Perspectives program is very simply, healing is not to be reserved for disease. And I know you're going to be here in town, Evan, doing a talk that is, Are You Ready to Flourish? So I'm assuming that this isn't just about, does your ankle hurt?
No. My first effort and goal is to elevate our view of what does it mean to flourish in the first place. Is it all about, you know, making the money or having the most beautiful body, you know? Is it about physical material status, or is it something more? And I know you know where I'm headed here.
Well, there's a note right here in the flyer I'm looking at that says, Hear God's healing ideas that bring solutions to tough conditions such as debt, unemployment, conflict, or disease. And I think that frequently people don't think in terms of connecting to that spiritual path for debt, unemployment, conflict, conflict resolution, I can't figure out what my partner is after. I think people don't necessarily think of going in that higher self direction on those.
Well, and I think you're right. And a lot of it has to do with what we think is going to bring the good into our life in the first place. For example, I asked the question, what is abundance?
Uh-huh.
Now, what is abundance? What's your definition for abundance? And often an audience will immediately say, lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of money. And then I go on to explain, well, when I think of abundance, I think of states of mind, spiritual states of mind, like, for instance, the ability to feel rich and wealthy whether or not you have a whole lot of money at the time. The ability to feel loved, lovable, and loving whether or not there are a whole lot of friends around you at the moment.
Right.
You know, things like that. The ability to keep complete peace of mind, you know, retain total calm in the midst of rage and turmoil all around you. You know, real abundance is spirituality. It's spiritual mindedness. It's feeling close to God. Spirituality lived and expressed. And when you get in touch with who you spiritually are, this rich, whole, complete, wonderful creation of divine love, then you start to find solutions and answers to problems that otherwise seem so difficult to deal with at the time. Because what you're really looking for, it's already in you. You already have it.
Let's expand on that. What you're looking for, it's already in you. You already have it. So you're describing creating a state of being to change your world, or more to the point, moving into a state of being to change your world rather than waiting for your world to change and then deciding that now you can live up to that.
Yeah, or even not so much creating my own world, but like I explained, when I pray, you know, I listen for what's already there, what's already in place. So I, you know, my concept of who we are is, and what I've been taught, is that we are already whole, complete, perfect beings made in the image of God. That's all. That's our default mode.
say that again, Evan. That was powerful. Say that again.
We are already whole, complete, perfect beings in the image of God.
Mm-hmm. And that's our default being.
That's our default. That's who we
are.
Got
it.
You know, when you work on your computer and you start getting a lot of add-ons from the web and viruses and things start don't work, you know, the computers say, do you want to go back to the default mode? You know, the way it was before all this stuff got added on.
And, oh, perfect.
Yeah, you know, we have to do that with our mortal human experiences. We start getting a lot of add-ons here, and they cause trouble and difficulty and anxiousness, and, you know, we need to hit the delete button at times and delete all that mortal material add-on to get back to, now, who am I in the image of God, that whole perfect, wonderful creation that God conceived of in the first place and has always been here?
Mm-hmm. So suppose someone has just moved into that world of unemployment, and they find that their mind is consumed with all of the possible futures that it's trying to predict for them. You know, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, this will happen, that'll happen. Where might you direct their attention to get them to be able to step out of that chattering mind that wants to predict doom and gloom and whatever?
Yeah, first good question is, how are you allowing your thinking to be employed?
Ooh, say that again.
How are you allowing your thinking to be employed? You know, our experience follows our thought. Our experience follows, really, what we're thinking leads, and then our experience just follows. So if we allow our thinking to be employed, and, you know, even fully employed by fear, worry, doubt, anxiousness, and concern, in essence, those dark states of thought, really, put us in an unreceptive state of mode. You know, unreceptive state of thought. We're not really hearing very clearly, because there's always a place for everybody. You know, I like to think that we live in a divine economy where divine mind employs us. And our job is to listen for the divine mind's direction, and that guidance will lead us to the right position for us and our neighbor, too. In the economy of the divine mind, there's never a shortage of jobs. There's a place for everyone. Everyone has their niche to fill in all of time and eternity. But, you know, I have to admit, the last 3 years have been very, very difficult, because for a lot of people, we've just gotten barraged by all kinds of fears and limited thinking that says there's not enough jobs, you know, the whole list of things that we hear through the news. But it's just our opportunity to rise above that limited view coming from wherever and get a broader view of the divine economy that we really live in, where there's enough good for everybody.
That's really powerful, and I just want to repeat again, how are you employing your mind? So you're really talking here about taking charge from the inside initially and coming back to that. So we'd like to take a second right now. Evan is going to be here in town presenting the talk, Are You Ready to Flourish? Let's give you the information so that you can attend there, and then we'll be right back to talk more with Evan Mellenbacher.
The Christian Science Church of Belvedere is pleased to have international speaker Evan Mellenbacher present a free lecture entitled Are You Ready to Flourish? On Tuesday, May 10th at the Belvedere Community Center. Are you ready to get more out of life? Tough conditions like debt, unemployment, conflict, or disease can cause despair. Evan will explain how to conquer these challenges by listening to the ideas God gives and find solutions that solve your problems. If you are tired of floundering and ready to flourish, this talk is for you. That's Tuesday, May 10th, 7:30 p.m. at the Belvedere Community Center, located at 450 San Rafael Avenue in Belvedere.
Hey, you are listening to Spiritual Perspectives with Scout Bartlett, originating on KEST in San Francisco, simulcast on www.kestradio.com. Our special guest today is Evan Mellenbacher. Evan is going to be here in town, but we're talking about, are you ready to flourish? What we just hit was the concept of, if, for example, you were facing job-level unemployment, Evan's question to you would be, how are you employing your mind? What's your mind's primary employment, and where are you placing your focus? So, Evan, I know throughout lots of years there's been as a man thinketh and so forth, but you've had real experience of yourself and others watching a healing transformation when they reattuned to that default state of being in alignment with a grander perspective, that which is God. And I'll just toss that over and go.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We live in a universe of mind, a divine mind, where things are thoughts and ideas are substance. And the more you think out from a metaphysical basis, your thought is more receptive to these ideas in the mind of God that resolve the troubles you're facing. One of my favorite stories is back when I was farming with my dad. We grew apples, and we started from the beginning, you know, with sand dunes and sagebrush, and up here in Washington State, and a few rattlesnakes running around. And we bought our little trees, a little whips, 36 inches tall, stuck them in the ground, and watered them and nurtured them and loved them up into full-blown fruit-bearing trees. And we finally got to the year where we were going to really have a significant crop income instead of all those bills that, you know, it takes several years to grow a tree and a lot of money. And we were in full bloom. It looked just fabulous. And all then this frost came in one evening right in the middle of the worst time possible. And the temperatures dropped all the way down to 12 degrees in some parts of the orchard. It was just horrible. And
yikes.
Dad and I spent all night trying to save our crop, but it was just hopeless. It was just a catastrophe and just a total crop loss. And, you know, so the mood was pretty despondent on the farm there. The next few days, like, oh, man, just everything gone in a few hours. And but, you know, I went back to God as my source. Divine mind has a solution. There's always an answer to any problem you face. And I've learned through my practice of Christian Science that what we call a material world is just a limited view of what spiritually exists. And when you're looking for healing in your life or to overcome some kind of limitation, you need to get mentally beyond what you're seeing physically to seeing spiritually what exists in the mind of God. And the supply that you think has been materially lost can be spiritually found in the mind of God. But you need to go there. You need to go there in your prayers. And so here I was faced physically, materially, with a horrible loss, just everything gone, and how are we going to pay the bills? But I thought, okay, you know, I know better than this. I know better than to believe this. There's a whole lot more going on here than what the eye is telling me. I need to go into the mind of God and listen for where the divine mind is taking me as to how we're going to pay our bills this year and get through this difficult time. And so I thought, well, there's no fruits out there in the orchard to harvest, so I'll harvest the fruits of the Spirit, you know, which for me was a triggered back to the New Testament where Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace, and he actually has nine qualities there, and I could remember the first three, love, joy, and peace.
And apples are not in the list.
And the apples are not in the list. Well, these are God's apples, you know.
Exactly,
these
exactly.
These are God's fruits, and gratitude. I definitely had to add on gratitude. Be grateful for every little thing. And that became my prayer, to fill up with love and joy and peace and be grateful for every little thing and look for everything you have to be grateful for and even more that you're not seeing at the moment. And it really snapped me out of that dark, woe me, oh my gosh, everything's horrible point of view and got me up to an inspired state of thought. And I just let the whole thing go, and Dad did too. And we just figured, you know, our needs would be met day by day. Our job was to listen. God had this all figured out because, you know, infinite love never leaves us in a lurch, never forsakes us, always takes care of us, always. But we need to demonstrate that. We need to do our part, which is to pray, open up, listen, and faithfully follow. So on we went. Next few weeks went just fine. You know, we were fine. And one day I was out in the orchard, and I was looking around and doing checking the oil, the irrigation level in the ground, and I looked in the trees, and there were some apples. I thought, oh, no, this is impossible. There's no apples out here, but there were some little green apples there, and not a lot of them, but just a few. And the more I looked around, though, the more I found. And it was just amazing. It's like, where did these apples come from? And I showed my dad, and he said, where did these apples come from? And we showed our consultant who we used to tell us what to do, and he said, oh, you know, yeah, there's a few apples here. I don't know where they came from, but the trees are weak from the frost. They're stunted, and they're just going to drop the apples and forget about it. There's nothing here. And I, oh, man, this was...
You got to love that reminder of believe your eyes, believe your eyes, believe
yeah.
your eyes. In fact, even if your eyes are telling you good things, then don't believe your eyes. Don't believe your eyes.
Absolutely. You know it. You know it. And, but, man, you know, I was praying. I was grateful for every little thing, and I was filled up with gratitude. And a crucial decision had to be made, take care of them or not, because if you don't, you know, they go to the worms and so on. And so it involved a lot of money. And it was my decision to decide whether we take care of them or not. And so I didn't know what to do. I mean, he was right from, you know, what everybody tells you point of view. But my little spiritual intuition was saying, maybe not this time. And so I went to God in prayer. And it took a few days for me to find the clarity of thought that I felt was necessary to clearly hear what God was telling me to do. And eventually I got there and got it to a very clear place. And it just came clear to me, Evan, take care of those apples. This time is different. And so I did. Mm-hmm. I committed the farm to it. And, you know, they did not fall off those trees. They hung on there as tight as can be. And we picked them. And there weren't a lot. You know, there were not a lot. Not a lot of bins. But what happens to a small apple when you have a few apples on a large tree? Do you know?
I would assume it gets more tree goodness.
It gets very big because, you know, it's hogging up all the nutrients.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to share.
So
they got really large, and they were unusually large. And after we picked them, the price of large apples that year went sky high. I mean, just it was like a niche market. And we were like the only ones that had large apples, it seemed like. And we sold them out there on the open market, and we actually made in net profit more on those few bins of apples than we had budgeted for an entire crop had there been no frost to begin with.
Wow.
And I just use that as an example of how prayer makes the difference. Because if I hadn't prayed and listened, we would have listened to the consultant, and they would have gone to the worms. There would have been no crop picked, just more bills, bills, bills.
Yeah, he would have managed to be right, actually, because if you hadn't tended to them, they probably would have dropped.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Self-fulfilling prophecy. And so this is what I'm talking about is we're always cared for, we're always loved, we're always provided for. How it's going to turn out, we often do not know ahead of time. It could be something completely and totally unexpected. But divine love has always got us covered. But we need to humbly listen and follow where that inner voice is taking us, and it will take us to a good place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love one of the notes that you have, Evan. I of course, since I knew I was going to chat with you, I did some looking around. I love how you describe my method. And Evan says, I do not recommend drugs, administer therapies, or prescribe any type of material remedy. I pray for people who are using these systems and are looking for a better way, but I do not advocate them. I do not practice the laying on of hands. My treatment is metaphysical, relying on the power of divine mind to effect a change. My goal is to spiritualize and improve a patient's thought, eliminating harmful fears, which in turn affects an improved life experience. So not just apple trees, but also working with people when they're in a tough condition, even whether it's debt or disease or just conflict. What have you seen using this stepping away from what the eye says when you've worked with couples in conflict, Evan?
Yeah. Did you say work with couples in conflict?
Or when you've encountered people encountering conflict in their relationships.
Oh, yes. You know, that's a wonderful opportunity to really draw upon the resources of love. The need usually is for some type of forgiveness or more understanding or patience or compassion or thoughtfulness or humility. We're looking to see more of the presence of love in their relationship. And certainly, I've been married for almost 25 years now, and so I've had lots of opportunity to do that. You know, what I've learned in my marriage is the first and foremost thing is when trouble arises is, I remember in the early years we would talk it out, you know, try to talk it out. And, boy, that could be a long discussion at times and sometimes not so fruitful. But with experience, I finally realized the problem's not over there on the other side of the table. It's inside of me. I'm the one who needs to get aligned better with divine love and do a better job of reflecting the presence of love in this marriage, in this relationship. And so I've learned to go to God first and again, listen, how can I express more love? How can I be more understanding, more forgiving, you know, more thoughtful, whatever the need is in the moment, and then bring that presence, that grace of love to the relationship. And I have found it to be very effective. Honestly, instead of trying to change the other person's mind or tell them what they ought to do, or, you know, if you'd only do that, things would be better for me. You know, try to human will an outcome. It doesn't work. You know, often it makes it worse. And because then you become an ego versus an ego. And I find it's more productive when you're both, you know, reflecting the one ego. And but again, it doesn't start with pointing fingers. It starts with your own self, getting your own thought in line more with divine love and bringing that love into the relationship. And then it's wonderful. This divine love that God is an all-knowing mind. And so when we get our own human will and ego out of the way and let that all-knowing mind of love come in, it fixes things up. It, you know, it changes thought on both sides of the discussion in such a way that it enables you to come together and work together as one.
This is such a great conversation. I wish we had hours for it, but instead we have one more minute. Are you ready to flourish? Evan, if there was one sentence you would hand to people as to why they'd want to be there or what they'll take away from that, what would it be?
A quote from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. Are you ready to receive those blessings? I'll help you find them if you're not.
Perfect. Say that quote again.
Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need.
Perfect. Are you ready to flourish? We've been speaking with Evan Mellenbacher today. He'll be here in town, and his evening presentation is sponsored by the First Church of Christ Scientist in Belvedere. There'll be no collection taking. It's given to you as a gift to the community. And I can tell you, I've been to these events. There'll be nobody hammering you, telling you that you have to come join a church or that terrible things are going to happen to you. It's just an opportunity for you to go experience more of the kind of thinking that you listen to KEST for. This is Spiritual Perspectives with Scout Bartlett, reminding you that no matter where on the world you are, it's an absolutely perfect day for you to have a great day on purpose. Let's give you the directions and the information for Evan's event this Tuesday.
The Christian Science Church of Belvedere is pleased to have international speaker Evan Mellenbacher present a free lecture entitled Are You Ready to Flourish? On Tuesday, May 10th at the Belvedere Community Center. Are you ready to get more out of life? Tough conditions like debt, unemployment, conflict, or disease can cause despair. Evan will explain how to conquer these challenges by listening to the ideas God gives and find solutions that solve your problems. If you are tired of floundering and ready to flourish, this talk is for you. That's Tuesday, May 10th, 7:30 p.m. at the Belvedere Community Center, located at 450 San Rafael Avenue in Belvedere. Get on your spiritual path.